All right, we now go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome in Matt Verderam, NFL staff writer at Sports Illustrated, also the host of the Matt Verderam Show on Patreon. Matt, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Well, for the day, I would say good in terms of the season and how sports is going. We were rooting for playoffs last year, and the quick turnaround, I'm looking at mock drafts, so I'd say pretty bad.
Well, I'd say focus on the Cavs.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good way to look at it.
Yeah.
You recently released your quarterback rankings and placed Jameis Winston down at 25 for the Browns after a disastrous start against the Chargers, 3 interceptions. For Jameis, though, where would you put his ceiling?
I'd put his ceiling probably middle of the pack. I mean, like, he has games where he's explosive. He's dynamic. I mean, look at the Ravens game. He threw 334 yards in that game. I get it. The Ravens can't defend anybody against that. But, like, he has games where he's got a very good arm. He can extend plays. You know, he's not a guy who's going to scramble for a lot of yards, but he can you know, ward off a sack and make a play. I mean, I think he can have days where he's in the low teen, you know, the 13, 14, 15 area. But the problem with him has forever been that he also has days where he just throws you out of the game, where he will make 3 or 4 mistakes, whether they're interceptions or balls that are dropped that could have been picked, which, by the way, in that Baltimore game, he threw a ball that should have ended the game, and it didn't. It got dropped, and then, you know, he goes over the top. But his problem has just always been he makes mistakes that kill you, and that's why he's bounced around.
So, theoretically, the Browns go back to him next year, right? I feel like that's a possibility. He's probably playing in the last 8 games if they decide to stick with him.
Yeah.
Browns able to succeed if they go back to Jameis? Like, where would you put them record-wise? What kind of range if they go back to Jameis Winston next year?
I think you're probably looking at around a 500 record. I mean, I think defensively, the Browns are obviously a talented team. They can do a lot of things on that side of the ball. And offensively, even after trading Cooper, I mean, it's not like they're bereft of talent. They have talent. Now, you know, you'd imagine that, you know, Nick Chubb at this point, is he back next year? I don't know. You know, be having Joku, and there's Judy, and so on and so forth. I would say this, though, about the Browns, and look, you being in Cleveland, you probably have a much better pulse to this than I do even, but do you draft the quarterback in the first round? I mean, do you just say, hey, look, you know what? Watson, it didn't work. Obviously, that's done with. It's over. I don't know how you bring him back going forward. And I get they've got to pay him. But if you're Kevin Stefanski, if you're Andrew Berry, do you just say, hey, you know what? Listen, Deshaun, thanks for the memories. Like, stay home. We don't care. Collect your paycheck. We're going to go draft a kid with a, you know, top 5, top 8 pick, whatever it is. I don't know. I think it probably depends on where the board falls and where they're at. But if I'm the Browns, that is not off the table for me.
Is there anybody in that range that you like a Shedeur Sanders, who I don't think would probably ever end up in Cleveland? I don't think Deion would let that happen. But even like a Cam Ward or somebody else that sticks out to you that would fit well with the Kevin Stefanski?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're so far out, right? I mean, things can change. And I'm with you with Shedeur Sanders. That is going to be, in my opinion, a circus. In terms of just, Deion is going to try to strong-arm teams in the league. I mean, hell, he's talked about it. Like, I don't know that if you're the Browns, like, after all the drama you've gone through, do you want any part of that? Do you want to deal with that? You know, Carson Beck was a guy that a lot of people thought coming into the year would be the number one QB on the board. He has not played his way into that conversation. He's not played well. Cam Ward, if the Browns are on the clock and Cam Ward is there, I think they would have to take him. I think they'd almost be compelled to take him. The question for me is other guys like a Jalen Milroe at Alabama. You know, I don't know that he goes that high. Some people really like him in the league and think he's a guy who has a super high ceiling. Other teams, you know, would look at him and go, maybe a little bit more of a project. And of course, you know, we're going to have the combine. Some of these guys are senior ball. We'll see. But, I think Cam Ward is the guy. I think if you talk to most people in the league that would go, look, that he's QB1 right now. And then Sanders is kind of this wild card because he's incredibly talented, but there's also that stuff that we talked about that comes with him. So, but if you're the Browns, I think all options are open.
Okay, then I guess the other side of that is Kevin Stefanski's kind of been at least deemed in his career, somebody who could make several different types of quarterback works. Is he even a guy who you would see here in Cleveland next year?
I think he should be. I think he should be. I to me, Kevin Stefanski is not the problem. I mean, he has on a quarterback. You can't, you know, when they had Mayfield, and Mayfield had a really good year back in, what was it, 2020, I believe, COVID year. They won a playoff game, and they took the Chiefs to the limit in Arrowhead. Now I get it. Mahomes got hurt in the game, and, you know, fine. They were good that year. I mean, you know, and then Mayfield got hurt the next year in the shoulder, and he was never really right. And then since then, it's been just having, you know, Watson, and of course, you know, Watson was suspended for most of his first year. I just think if you're the Browns, do you really think Stefanski's a problem? I think he's a good coach who's just kind of been given an awful hand to play, and they've still been a team that went to the playoffs last year. They've largely been competitive. This year, the wheels have just come off, but I don't know. I think he's a fine guy to have as a coach for a young quarterback.
Here's a little let in on it. We're on the same page. We're on the same team here. I would be in the same boat as that. So let's say Browns go, they draft Cam Ward, they get a vet who slots in nicely, whatever.
Right.
They get the guy there. Is it a 1-year turnaround? Do you feel like they're just the quarterback away?
I mean, it could be. We see this all the time in the NFL. All the time. Guy comes in at quarterback, and the team that prior to that, you're like, yeah, they have potential, but they're not really doing it. And also, you're like, wow, actually, they're pretty good. I mean, we saw Stroud with the Texans last year. Now, granted, they also had a different head coach, but they were not a team that anybody thought had that much talent on it. And all of a sudden, they were in the playoffs and winning the division. We saw it was his second year, but look, Lawrence with Jacksonville, where Urban Meyer was a train wreck, and they got a real coach in the building. All of a sudden, they're in the playoffs, and they win a playoff game. I think at the head coach position and the quarterback position, you get an adult in the room where an adult previously was not in the room, things change rapidly. The Chargers are an example of that this year. With, you know, you bring Harbaugh and they replace Staley. All of a sudden, they're 6-3 and they're competent and they have an identity. I think if you brought in a quarterback for the Browns who is a good young quarterback, I think that team absolutely could be a 10-win, 11-win team. But if you don't have that guy, and of course, unfortunately, Cleveland fans know this, you are just so far behind the eight ball. And in the AFC in particular, where most of the teams in the playoffs are going to have a superstar quarterback, you just have to have him. I think if you're the Browns and you feel like that guy's on the board, you go get that guy. You do whatever you have to do, and you live with however it shakes out. But like to me, going in with Winston next year, you might be all right, but you're not going to win a Super Bowl. You're not going to compete seriously for it. And really, what's the point?
Again, Matt Verderam with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So two teams that I feel like have their quarterback situation figured out pretty well, the Ravens and Steelers. Steelers atop the AFC North right now. Ravens, though, Baltimore not far behind. Which team do you think has a better chance at making a run in the playoffs?
The Ravens. I mean, and I say that, quite frankly, not being a huge believer in the Ravens, but the Steelers defensively are a team that, hey, they could stay in any game because they've got a wicked edge rush. And they've got guys in the back seven too who can play. McQueen's been great for them this year. You know, they've got a guy. You know, they've got a Joey Porter Jr. They've got Micah Fitzpatrick. Like, they've got guys. Like, you know, Jackson's been an addition for them that's helped out. Like, the problem I have with Pittsburgh is I just don't know offensively if they can hang in against really good teams. Like, if they could go to Arrowhead and win a game with that offense, or Buffalo, maybe they could. Maybe Wilson surprises me. I have my doubts. Whereas I think Baltimore, Jackson might win his third MVP this year. Henry might rush for 2,000 yards. I mean, offensively, they're great. Now, the downside of Baltimore, which I think will kill them in the playoffs, they can't stop anybody from throwing the football. And when you've got a playoffs, you know, the system here in the AFC, where you've got Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Stroud, maybe Burrow, you're just not going to win three games in a row against those quarterbacks. You're giving up 300 yards passing every game. I mean, they are so bad defensively, they're giving up more passing yards per game than the Chiefs are giving up total yards per game. It's ridiculous. So I don't think either one of them are going to find themselves in the Super Bowl. But because of the quarterback and the offense, I'll give Baltimore a better shot.
All right. Thursday night football last night, Commanders had what I probably would describe as the worst clock management I've ever witnessed at the end of that game.
Not good.
What was going on there? Like, they're calling a run play. closing out on the 2 minutes. Dan Quinn after the game's telling him, yeah, we wanted to get going before the 2 minute warning, but then when you're up against it, you're running the ball. I mean, it seemed like a complete collapse out of them and a chance where you still had a long shot, but you had a shot to win the game.
I thought that game, in a lot of ways, it was microcosmed when, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm trying, the Eagles were up two, and Washington had the ball with a fourth and two in today's day and age, an easy field goal range.
Yeah.
And Quinn was like, no, we're going to go for it. And it was just a disaster. And Daniels tried to run. They lost like 6 yards. I just look at some of these teams and say, some of this stuff is so simple. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. And I think we see that all the time. By the way, the Eagles have a coach who is constantly criticized for that, where you watch these games and you're like, it's not that difficult, man. Like, just do the obvious thing. And Washington, at the end of that game, do the obvious thing. You're down by two scores. Throw the ball. Just throw it. Like, I don't care what your rationale is. Whatever your rationale is there, if you're not throwing the ball, your rationale is terrible. Throw the football. I think sometimes these teams, it's almost like paralysis by analysis, where it's just like, we have to do this for X reason, when in reality, everyone in the world's looking at something going, well, why? Just do what is blatantly obvious in front of your face. And I think that's what Washington fell into last night in the second half.
Yeah, not good. Somewhere else, you know, more into the Midwest there, seems like a complete disarray in Chicago. Bears reports, whether or not they're true, I don't know. Caleb Williams, veterans want him benched for Tyson Bagent. I mean, is Caleb Williams a problem in your eyes? Is it Eberflus? Was it possibly Shane Waldron? I feel like they're in a terrible spot right now, where you have the quarterback, you don't have the coach, and it is just veterans all over the place not happy.
Well, so this summer, as I've done every year, event Sports Illustrated, I do a camp tour for us, and I'm kind of the guy in the Midwest with a couple guys out of East and a guy in L.A. And so I go and I make my rounds, and I'm based 45 minutes outside Chicago. So my last stop was going to Lake Forest and watching the Bears. I mean, it was mid-August, like 15, 16. And I went and I'm watching the Bears. And their joint practice actually that day with Cincinnati. And after the practice, you know, I'm talking to some people, and they're like, yeah, listen, like, the three interior offensive linemen, no idea who they are this year yet. And I was like, you guys know, like, the season starts in 2 weeks, right? Like, nobody knows who the guards and the center is. It was just, like, it was a moment. I remember driving out of the facility thinking, well, that's not good. That's probably not going to end well. And I think so. It's a combination of, you know, you watch the New England game. They gave up 9 sacks in that game.
Yeah.
It couldn't block anybody. And so I think, look, Waldron wears some blame. He's the offensive play caller, and he didn't do a good enough job hiding some of their deficiencies. I think some of this lands on Ryan Poles. I think a lot of it lands on Ryan Poles, quite frankly. Like, you had no offensive line. You went out and got Keenan Allen, and you added no offensive linemen. That's an unforgivable sin with a rookie quarterback, especially when you're going to draft a Dunze anyway. Like, you need a line. You have to play up front first and then work your way out. And then I think, look, Williams to me also, though, you got to wear some of this. I am so sick and tired of people, not just with Williams, but in general, this idea that, well, he's a rookie. Hey, man, he's the number one overall pick. You bring that guy in there to elevate the talent around him. And we have seen Stroud did it last year. We're watching Jaden Daniels, for the most part, do it this year. I'm not saying Caleb Williams has got to be out there throwing for 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns, but, like, you can't go out there and start almost every game if you're 4 of 14 for 30 yards. That's not cutting it. I don't care what the situation is. So, yeah, Waldron deserves some of it. Poles deserves some of it. Eberflus oversees it. He deserves some of it. But in the end, Caleb Williams, everybody and their mother felt like coming this year, hey, he's in a great situation. He's got a ton of stuff to work with. Unlike most number one picks, walking into a total grease fire. He's played terribly, and he's got to wear that.
All right, Matt, real quick, to get you out of here on this one, I want you to rank these three fan bases on who should be the most disappointed this year. The Browns, the Cowboys, and the Jets.
Oh, wow. Gee, okay. I guess I would say that the Jets just would be number one, just because it feels like that thing has such a finite clock to it where it's almost got to go kaboom here in a major way. And then I would say probably Cleveland too. You know, a lot of people believed in them. It just went horribly from the start. And then, look, the Cowboys, maybe I'm biased at this one. I just like the Cowboys. We do this every year. Like, everybody overvalues Dallas. They're not – and, like, this offseason, we all saw them do nothing. Everybody knew regression was coming, and once Prescott got hurt, that was it. But, obviously, all three teams, it has not gone according to plan.
All right, Matt, I appreciate it. Hopefully we talk soon, and be good, man.
You got it. Anytime.
Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated, as well as the Matt Verderam Show, and he joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.